Hello and welcome to The Great British Sitcom, the show in which we watch some potentially forgotten sitcom classics to see if it stood the test of time. I'm Mark and these are two Chris's.
Hey.
Hello. Cool, hello. Today we're watching Not On Your Nelly. We don't have an episode planned for this because the one that I did have planned is apparently no longer available for us to watch. So did you pick one at all for us, Wood, or just...
I didn't know if it was just going from episode one.
Oh yeah, one
season one, episode one, see what it started out like.
Well, yeah, works for me. All right. Did one of you want to read some of the notes I've got on Not On Your Nelly?
Okay, watching Not On Your Nelly. So, series premise. Nelly Pickergill, or Pickergill, don't know, moves to London to take the reins of her ailing father's Chelsea pub. Written by Ray Bottomley and Tom Brannard. Special branch, man at the top. I'm assuming those are things he's written.
Yeah.
Or they've written.
What was it, nicknames?
In special branching. There was three series, 17 episodes, I assume, across the three series, and it's aired between 1974 and 1975. Three series in those years.
Okay, that doesn't sound right. Okay.
No, fair enough. Do you want to guess the series rating, I guess?
Always fun.
6.8.
Yeah, 6.5. I don't know.
That's a 7.4 out of 10. Okay. So it's quite a highly rated one.
Mm. Who are these people? Who are these people rating this thing?
So
you're the kind of person who's leaving a rating if a sitcom on Not On Your Nelly, then I don't really trust your judgment.
What?
If you're the kind of person who leaves a review of Not On Your Nelly.
Yeah, but these could be historical ratings from when it aired in 1974 to 75. Might not be modern.
I don't think IMDb was around, let alone the internet.
Yeah, but they could have cross-referenced it across like Radio Times or something like that. I don't know.
Someone's job to go back for all the newspapers.
The Radio Times survey that gets sent out every year, isn't it? And you rate all TV programmes out of 10.
Look at this web that Chris has constructed so that he's not wrong. just to avoid conceding a point to me.
So, all right, okay, so she's come back to take over a Chelsea pub.
From where? Crucially, up north, do you reckon?
Nearly, I don't know, yeah, maybe.
The circus.
What?
The circus. Packed their trunk.
It's a prequel.
They met in the Light of the Silvery Night and the Ride to Mandalay. So anything pub based in the mid 70s, it's just two massive red flags.
It's going to be like a dirty working men's group, isn't it?
Well, it's a Chelsea pub, though, isn't it? Chelsea now. It's always been a posh area, isn't it, Chelsea?
Well, it seems so. I don't know. No clue at all. Geography, not my thing. Or history.
It's down to us now, Chris.
I think so, because that's what the whole thing with like Chelsea Football Club, wasn't it? It was invented to be like a higher class football
something
club, wasn't it?
Just it was somewhere all like racists could go and support a football club.
Don't think that's on the chart.
There's no chart, and they can't read all right. But Chelsea, yeah, because it was like King's Road, isn't it? Swinging 60s.
Yeah, so I'm sure I watched they had a thing about Chelsea when it basically got made. As a football club.
Made in Chelsea.
Yeah, apparently so. But like, as a alternative to like, sort of, I guess, working men's football teams.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway. So do we think it's going to be a nice pub then, or is it going to be a bit of a rough pub?
Judging by some of these haircuts in these pictures, I'd guess no. I mean, one of these men are wearing like an Elvis suit.
Mm. Like a white jumpsuit?
Yep, white jumpsuit, red piping down the arms. We've got dungarees, we've got cardigans, we've got roll necks with a blazer.
Nice, that's a nice combo.
It's nice,
actually. I like a nice cardigan. I'd like to wear roll necks, but I just can't. I look like... You know when Vic Reeves is in that mulligan O'Hare, and you can see his nipples going through it? He's deliberately looking like a pervert. That's how I look when I put a roll neck on.
Yeah, the last time I tried mine on, it was a little too tight. It was not a good look.
Around the crotch.
Around the neck.
Jumpsuit roll neck. Get the toilet, just pull it aside. Pop the old chap out.
Yep. That's how it goes.
So is that why you weren't invited back to London Fashion Week?
Just strutted out the old meeting too rich.
Knob out really big this
scant.
He's revolutionised it. No, don't worry. We don't need it.
Full length roll neck, I guess that's one Photoshop.
Yep.
Roll neck bodysuit.
I've got my license back now, so I can actually do that. Yep.
Suspended.
Yeah, got my license suspended for.
I want your gun and your Photoshop license on the table.
I couldn't use like any Adobe programs for a while at work.
All right.
So got my license.
What were you doing on there, Mark?
What was going on? What have you got to be doing to get your license suspended on Photoshop?
I was just drawing nudes all day. Just I don't
drawing
know.
Drawing nudes.
Yeah. Drawing from memory.
That would have been a different scene in Titanic, wouldn't it? Draw me like he's like. I don't know, tits were definitely out. Necklace, I think.
Everything's always, like everything's always reversed, like it's in a mirror. He's drawn this cock and ball backwards.
The vein's definitely on the other side. He's drawn this cock and ball backwards.
I like that in that scenario, he's drawing Rose. Yeah, it's still incorporated the cock and balls.
That's his signature.
It's in the corner.
This is a Jack, this one. Jack, what's his name? Jack, did he ever say a name? In?
Skellington.
What's this? An iceberg in the ship. A nightmare for sinking or whatever, I don't know.
Nightmare for disaster.
Sink mass.
Sequel.
Good, that's right. Thanks. This is kind of. Are we legally obliged to bring up Nightmare Before Christmas in every episode? I'm sure we always talk about it.
Oh, I don't ever remember talking about it.
I don't think I ever remember talking about it. It's just your fever drink. It's constant.
I think we've covered that. Mm-hmm. It's theme music, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one.
I reckon there's going to be. Is there going to be a bell in there, like a Last Orders?
Good
bell?
Eye, that's a good shout.
I think this is going to be one of the ones where there's like frantic clapping over the top until they get into the actual sitcom itself.
Like in Gladiator.
I don't know why,
just like in the Colosseum. Frantic clapping, that's what came to mind straight away. Don't know why.
I can't think of music right now, sorry. I think the bell of the pub sort of thing. Is that what you're saying?
That's the
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, like the Last Orders.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Bell of the ball. That's just the lower class version of it. I'm going to be the bell of the pub. a ball game will shit out the pack.
So this episode, if we're doing episode one, sets the scene, obviously. So Nelly Pickersgill.
That's an annoying sitcom name for a start.
It is, yeah.
Is she going to be like, is she young? Is she old?
She's going to be Northern, isn't she?
Is that just defies age?
It's a Northern name, isn't it? Stupid Northern young, name.
What's your age? 18 to 25, 35 to 45, 55 plus, Northern. Just doesn't matter, does it?
She's got like tightly knitted curly.
That's the clothes again.
Hair.
Oh, the hair.
Yeah, no.
Tight perm.
Tight perm, yep. So she gets word that her father Jed is ill. And
it's Northern, though. Jed.
Jed, yeah, I would assume so. He can't manage his pub, so she packs up and hurries to move. Packs up, south to help him. So she's going down south. So how far north was she then?
Depends on like, how northern. How far
north was she?
Finchley. Yeah.
Just off the M21, lads, I don't know.
M21, I guess.
First one I went to. Big rules.
So the further north you are, you consider other people southern, don't you? Like.
Oh yeah,
I've known
got
some people who live like right up north, and they consider people who live in like the Midlands southerners.
Yeah, I've got a couple friend who are one's from Newcastle, and one's from Yorkshire, and she considers him southern. Mm. It's like you're both scum. Just calm down.
Stop arguing.
Hilda Baker was an English comedian, actress, and music hall performer. Fucking yes.
Well done.
Born in Farnworth, died in Epsom.
Is she like the one with glasses, like sort of black curly hair.
Yeah, she had black hair. Yeah.
Does she look like Rosa? Yeah. I was gonna say she looked like Rosa.
That's how she's best remembered.
Screaming and crying,
shrieking and agony. Or she's singing, or she's yawning. Be nice.
So, what do we think we're gonna see in this episode? It's gonna be a pub. How many watery, obviously fake pints are we gonna see?
Is this another version of your teas per minute? Is this like pints per minute?
I was just thinking what we're going to see. What's the jokes going to be centered around? Is it going to be like almost like just always going to be in the bar? Like, you know,
they're all going to
be
in
all
those
the denizens of the pub, and it's like the different characters that come into it. Do you reckon there'll be the regulars that form the cast and that? And then she's always like, you know, yeah.
How many sentences are you going to start with? Ear. Every beer going to be in one of those like dimpled glasses with a handle. It's horrible. Beer looks so bad in like in things set in the '70s, and it just looks like shit. It's
I think beer out of them glasses with the handle. Yeah. I mean, I don't drink myself, but they never look like they would be good.
It just looks like it's crystal sloshing shit. This ugh, it looks bad.
Do we think? What was I going to say? Oh, we're going to have the sort of character trope of the guy who's with the glasses, you know, where they have like on the buses where there's like the guy who's like talks really intelligently but he's like in the wrong setting.
It's like the barroom philosopher.
Well, yeah.
So I'm trying to go by some of the pictures in here. So there's a picture of a reverend. I don't know if he'll be like a sort of main character. So maybe someone like him if there is. A lot of these people look like they're gonna be rough and ready, like day to day people in the pubs.
The usual
scum. There is one non-white person, so let's hope that's...
I'm sure that won't be referred to at all in the...
Yeah, let's hope that's safe territory.
Do we think the dad being alien will come into it?
I don't think he'll feature much.
Is he actually ailing, or is it just a ploy to get her back?
Or is he going to be like really forgetful and just and like...
Just to run the pub.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. Have there been any sort of north and south culture clash humour, do you think?
Oh, maybe.
Well, like serving the chips of gravy on it.
Yeah. Gravy. Fucking.
Or having a balm, whatever it's called.
Balmer?
A balm.
A balm. Isn't
that what they call a roll in it?
Really?
Isn't there like a map you can look at where it tells you what they call a roll in different regions? Like cob.
Like a tea cake and a cob or something like that.
Oh. Bun or something.
And it just means like a bread roll.
A chunky, a flob, a nang nang. All like different names.
Nang nang.
Mark getting beaten up in Nottingham in a fish and chip shop. Can I have a nang and chips and nang nang, please? What do you fucking say? Get your fucking haircut and fuck off. Daft cunt. Just want a nang nang. All right, cheers everyone, bye.
Yeah, we'll see you in a bit.
Say bye, Chris.
Bye.
1, 2! They used to say in the good old days, things were better in every way, but no, not on your Nelly. For instance, there's a thing called love. That's one thing that they hadn't thought of. No, not on your Nelly. If you feel sad and you feel seems to ignore you. Get out and about and you'll find out it's right there and it's waiting for you. So off you go, don't feel low, cause I say they don't know, you know. No, not on your Nelly. No, not on your Nelly. I should worry and spoil my shame. Not on your Nelly.
So it was pretty much what we thought it would be. Are we right? It was pretty much exactly what we said it would be.
It followed the premise where she came down and took over the pub.
I went in this one with like high hopes, if I'm honest, but I kept quiet about it. I really did.
What did you expect? How were your hopes dashed, Mark?
I was hoping it would be, and I'm going to struggle to remember this one. No, Queenie's Castle. Yeah, I was hoping it would be similar in lines of that, because I remember enjoying that. Not knowing what to expect. I remember going, oh, this is pleasantly a surprise. But this one was just like, I think the biggest frustration for me in this one, which I think we've all commented on, was the dialogue, whereby everything that she said had one word that was just a slight twist on what it's supposed to be. And it was frustrating.
Yeah, it was like a...
The worst one being like mixing up. Is that what the word is, spoonerisms?
I think spoonerism when you accidentally change the first letters or something. But I was, shit. Sorry, is this derail this spoon?
No. It helps the conversation. It's like, for example, she was trying to use the word fiance, but she said fiasco.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I've gone all mental.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not really a spoonerism. Spoonerism is when you change the first two words. So, like, so they're saying you've, it's only you've missed the history lecture, you've hissed the mystery lecture.
Oh, okay.
It's a spoonerism. But like that kind of thing. It was like, what did she say?
Fiasco fiance, alcoholic. I've written down.
Like, That's not a word.
I didn't mind that one as much because like the usage of that there was around like frolicking, like something sexual. So I was like, well, I can kind of see why that one's been used, but
sexual.
But everything else was just no. It was just desperate. Mm.
But it, yeah, it kind of had the cast of regular people in the. To be fair though, it was a bit kind of more. Well, it was more like it would be like a bunch of old. But it wasn't really like that. Apart from the window cleaner, it was a youngish sort of lad, happy-go-lucky, taking it, you know. But it was a bit more diverse. But then at the same time, the diversity was kind of played for laughs, wasn't it? Like there were like two like hilariously flamboyant gay men.
Yeah.
Which like it wasn't really.
I don't think
at
it was
their expense, was it?
No, I didn't know how to describe this one. I don't think it was like they were poked fun at because the same joke was used both times. Like looking at, was it Gilbert, the boyfriend?
Gilbert or George.
That's exactly that, yeah. So she kept using the same joke on him. So it felt as though that was going to be the same joke throughout the
recurring thing.
Yeah. It's not as offensive.
It wasn't necessarily.
Almost.
And then there was an Asian guy who was like worked on the tube.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, we knew what we were in for when it had some of that sort of dialogue in the credits.
Oh, my God.
The opening sequence.
Jesus
Christ. Where she went after some people varying races in London. And,
should we play a game of can you remember the order in which she spoke to everyone and what they were? I've got them all written down.
The first one was...
The first one she spoke to the Asian guy.
Yeah. Are we doing this all the people window. Or just the...
You can do it in a mixed order if you want.
The variety of races that she managed to insult.
Varieties, professions, do what you want.
Well, she got off the coach and... At the beginning, when the guy came over and she was like, oh, thank you, and he just took the other lady's thing. Was that the guy from the pub? It wasn't, was it?
Don't think so.
Probably
no, just a,
anyway,
a
so
man.
It was him, and then she spoke to someone at Piccadilly Circus, and she went, oh, I hope you... She did the whole classic getting her words mixed up thing. She was supposed to say, I'm not... I hope you don't think I'm soliciting, but she said, like, I was soliciting locally and whatever.
Right.
And he just ignored her. Rightfully so, that's what I would have done. But then she, and it was like, every time it was set up, it was someone's back to her looking in a shop window and she was like, excuse me, and then he turned. Like, so the first time it was like a Japanese guy, I guess.
Yep.
And it was like, just in that split second, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. But then she sort of went in a racist way, and this is just me saying what she said. She went, arsehole.
Yeah. Was it Dobby Arigato, did she say as well?
I don't know. So, oh no.
Yep.
And was that about a minute into the show?
Yeah.
That wasn't even the show, that was the opening scene.
Just the opening credits.
Yeah. This is what you're getting, guys.
But I don't know whether that happened. That was just maybe the first episode's one. Maybe the openings are not so long.
Remember, there's a variety of races in each one, they mix and match. She's like piercing blackface in the third one, who knows? But then, there was a black policeman guy that she said, oh, I couldn't even hear what she said, like, over the raucous laughter.
Oh,
that
she
was
said something like, oh, do you know the way to, because she's trying to find a way to the pub, she said, oh, do you know the way to, oh, I suppose you won't, considering you're a foreigner as well.
Yeah.
And then she said, are you a relation of, and I can't remember who she asked.
Louis Armstrong, was it?
No way.
No, it wasn't Louis Armstrong. Al Jolson. It was Al Jolson.
Oh yeah, my God.
Yeah. She said, "I suppose you're a relation of," and then it was just cut to his wide eye. But
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, right, and this isn't excusing it in any way. Like when the laughter is coming from her ignorance. It's not like the audience isn't laughing at the Asian person or the black guy or the child. It's well, the Asian one's just a bit egregious, but like. He's laughing at her kind of ignorance and her naivety as well, I guess.
Yeah.
And like, she's not a racist person. She's just old and doesn't
she's
understand
just,
things.
What's the thing? She's not even old, is she? I guess.
She's like middle-aged. She's like in her 50s. I mean,
she looked it, but like the way she was treated, like, with conversation with her dad later on, that I'm really unsure with.
But that's just play for laughs, isn't it? Like, she's...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Emotionally stunted or whatever. Like, stunted as well. But that's it was hugely dated, obviously. But I feel like really,
In terms of the era, some of the jokes were, dare I say it, tastefully done.
It could, I'm not saying it could have been so much worse, but
it could have been like, much worse.
It wasn't like, you know, love thy neighbor type stuff, or
no.
What's the one in the school? What's that one called again? Mind your English. Or as I call it, I cut out with the with a non-white character. I'm cutting that out. Cut that out.
I only refer to the true language, English.
Yeah, that it wasn't like that.
I refuse to acknowledge any other language.
But then I don't know. I'm getting, you know, I guess in the audience at the time were just laughing because it was, you know, someone saying stuff to foreigners.
Yeah. I imagine you were mostly laughing because there probably just wasn't much else on. They were sitting.
It was just nice to see.
Yeah. Just happy to be out for the day.
Good to see something out.
Yeah, there was two more people that she spoke to. The second one being more important, but the first one was a vicar, and I think we were supposed to laugh at the assumption that he thought that she was soliciting.
Well, because she said, "Oh, can I show you something?"
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh,
heavens!" And sort of walked away. And then the second one was two men on a motorbike with a sidecar. Was it a sidecar, I think?
It was Gilbert and George.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. And it was Hell's Angles, she referred to them as, as they crashed through the door.
Fuck off, Hilda.
That's the mathematics-based bicycle gang.
Bicycle. Hell's Bicycles. The chain's come off again. Pythagoras' angels.
Anyway, motorbike through the door.
Rubbish. Absolutely dog shit. And she absolutely careered through the. It collapsed. Like the door collapsed. Yeah. The wall collapsed. And then, like the next scene, it was all, you know, obviously it's not a social realist documentary about a pub, obviously.
No, but
like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, thank God the door's made of plywood. It's just rubbish.
thank God we had this spare yellow helmet for Hilda to wear. Yeah. What's her real name in the show? What's her name? Nelly.
Her surname's not Anya.
Oh, no, that's why it's called that.
Oh, please stick that.
What a twist. M. Night Shyamalan much. I hate that when someone says much. What is that? What? When someone says a small penis much in the men's toilet in the pub. Shriveled maggot much.
I do that quite a lot, actually.
What? So much.
To Alice just went to a literally, any time she do something, like she'll drop something, I say, won't hold that much.
Hold that much.
I think she stalled the car first time I think I've ever seen her stall the car ever in like 6 years, and I was like, drive much? It's
like drive much, so concise as well.
It is,
not even like clutch control much. No, just drive much. Drive much. Oh, that's, yeah, well, there
she,
you go,
she doesn't enjoy it,
doesn't she? So, what a start. Motorbike through the window, door, whatever.
Well, it lets you know what you're in for, doesn't it?
But there was a lot of this crazy cutting between scenes. Like, it was, you kind of lost all the sense of how much time had passed, and like, it would cut from one thing just to this, like, it, I assume the next day, or.
I think the one.
Well, I think this one episode, I can only imagine, was like filmed over the course of like several months, like in the canon of the actual show. Like, it wasn't like a day, was it? Because there was like all the stuff that happened must have been like weeks, mustn't it?
Yeah, the pre planning for that guy trying to marry her.
I think that door alone would have taken, yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine a few days at least.
With a clutch at the pub, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And then that must have been the same day, though, unless that guy was part of a lock in, because. She went straight upstairs to her dad, took the beer off him, and threw it out the window. And that's as the guy walked out of the door that she just crashed through on the motorbike.
Oh, continuity error. So that, on IMDb.
That was confusing.
Or maybe it's a different. But maybe it's fast. He was coming out through the saloon.
Yeah, might be double doors. You never know.
Mm. Or the family bar.
Well, when they crashed through the door, there was another door you could see through.
As a window.
I've been getting that wrong for years.
You never gone through like the small door you've got to step over. Oh, I don't know. I thought I saw another door.
It was all over the place, right?
I mean, to be fair, it was shot in a studio, so probably just couldn't be bothered to have a little outside scene outside.
Saw a boom mic, didn't you? You happy to see that?
I felt that there was going to be a boom mic in it, and to see that, well, I think you called it a word to say that. Oh, what's that in the top right? Absolutely love seeing a boom mic. It genuinely makes me happy.
The drinks all looked repulsive, didn't they? Everything everyone was drinking looked disgusting.
Well, but there's one thing you thought barman was drinking, like.
I assume it's supposed to be a Bloody Mary, but it looked like a cream of tomato soup. Yeah. Into it.
Nothing nice residue around the top of the glass. Drunk it.
Dipping some bread in there. Really quenching my thirst. I think I have a joke of the week. It shows her an exterior shot of her walking down the King's Road with all fashionable people around her.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, bloody hell, their mothers don't know what they're wearing or whatever shit like that. And it goes into her going to a boutique and going, oh, because everything's all weird and fashionable. And then it turns out, surprise, surprise, it's Gilbert and George's boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she goes on the length, he was like, well, if that's anything, like, describe it to Gilbert and or George, and he'll design it for you. And he's got his notepad out. And she goes into a lengthy sort of monologue describing something she saw in the co-op in Accrington,
mm-hmm.
a dress. And it goes on for ages, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, and then
in a co-op?
I'm sure she's a co-op.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, fair. Maybe times have changed.
I don't know. But and then the punchline is that, like, she was like, yeah, that's what I saw, but yeah, I didn't like it much.
Yeah, like Shaggy Dog story.
Fair enough. There wasn't a dog involved, but it was kind of what we expected. It was like a pound shop version of Queen's Castle where, what's the Queen's Castle lady's name?
Queenie.
That's it. the actor.
Oh.
Where?
Diana Dawes, was it? Diana Dawes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it's Diana Dawes. Yeah.
Yeah, what's Chris calls it, Diana Window.
Instant callback.
It's furious. Absolutely livid. It felt like it's a thing where it's hung around her performance, and this was like that kind of thing where they've gone, well, we've got Hilda Baker.
Yes.
And she was like, they've obviously just let her go. Like, she would like be talking over people sometimes and then forgetting her lines and stuff, but everyone sort of had to sort of cater to her performance, I think. And it was of its time, I guess. There must have been a lot of people who knew. She must have been like a big household name and like a musical legend at the time.
Well, it said based on like a theatre piece or something at the end in the credits. So, yeah, that would stand to reason, I guess. Maybe that was quite a big thing at the time, just to take theatre actors into comedy.
Yeah.
So we spoke on the way down, didn't we, about stand-up comedians then having... we sit in silence for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'll turn the radio up as loud as it will go, so I don't have to hear Mark. about the crossover between stand-ups and sitcoms and live comedy performers and sitcoms.
So is that, do you think that's maybe like the modern equivalent of what this was back in the day, like theatre into sitcom?
Well, TV? I think maybe, I don't know, maybe this is me talking out of turn and not really know what I'm talking about, but it feels like there was...
unusual.
going on a lengthy monologue about something you don't know anything about. That's weird. I don't know. I feel like there was maybe less of a strong distinction between live comedy and stage stuff and musical. And I guess, you know, at the time, well, it was the '70s, but this is of its time. It was kind of in its infancy, the idea of a sitcom and the tropes and the dynamics of a sitcom. So I feel like maybe there was less of a hard crossover to make between being in a musical and on stage doing comedy, and which was just like a filmed the stage.
It's just like a lift.
To be a spin-off of Nearest and Dearest, which was a sitcom she was on first, and it was meant to be a continuation of the character, but then they just changed the character's name.
Oh.
But it was pretty much identical. But it said it was based on a stage play that they'd written for Baker in the frame of the Nellie Pledge character.
Nellie Pledge.
So that was the character in Nearest and Dearest, I think, that she was.
Oh, right.
I don't know, that's what I think anyway.
I can sort of understand how it might be easier to transpose back in the day a theatre piece into a sitcom than perhaps it would be like for a stand-up to do the same today, because back in time-wise, it's not as established yet. Is that the sort of point you're making?
At that time, stand-up in the '70s was just people doing like telling jokes and stuff, really, and like going, "Ew, fucking my mother-in-law said this, and she was fat and whatever."
Yeah.
Unless obviously there are outliers of people doing different stuff, and you know.
Mm.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking shit. I don't know. It feels like
that's kind of the point of these conversations.
It was less of a big distinction between what sitcoms were at the time and that style of comedy and. Because I don't know, like sitcoms were just like this in the seven, like up until I don't know the 80s, maybe when they started doing different stuff. trying different things.
I suppose
things.
At that point, television was like relatively new, wasn't it? So it's not like probably closest thing I would have had to it would have been like stage shows stuff. So a lot of shows were probably filmed with like very sort of similar setting and like, you know, cuts into like very sort of static environments, wasn't it? It wasn't a lot of like moving about and stuff. And also, I suppose the cameras and stuff wouldn't have been necessarily as portable, and the taping and the editing, so it's probably easier to set it in like one thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and the use of the space on the actual like stage itself. So like the bit in the bedroom, for example, when she walked away from her dad in bed, faced the camera, just the whole walking about there, just to.
'Cause I think a lot of the older sitcoms, particularly like the sort of 60s and 70s ones we've seen, you could, if someone said like, oh, you know what, this was a stage show,
yeah,
you'd probably see, okay, yeah, no, that probably would work on a stage in a theatre.
Like when we watched The Worker, for example.
Yeah, we had the same, the exact same conversation, didn't we?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was, because I think he was sensitive with theatre as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He seemed like that type. But it could have been, it was all in one, the vast majority of it all in one room, wasn't it? In the office, wasn't it? But
like, if we like take it back 10 years or so, there was like Gurney Slade before that, and that's completely different.
Well, that's an outlier really, where they were trying this weird shit.
Really, but it's the really trippy era of the '60s, though, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah.
But maybe in the '70s, at that point, in terms of all the different sitcoms that we're watching, are they finding like a theme of what's working at the time, perhaps, and that's why it's a lot of.
I suppose it depends about budgets as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How much they're putting into it, doesn't it? Like, 'cause it's a lot cheaper, I guess, to film something in one static set than it is to do lots of different places around. So I suppose it depends on a lot of things.
There was an when the property developer, he was obviously trying to woo her so he could buy the pub, and he could, in a genuinely disturbing sequence, when he came into the pub and she was like, oh, I'm gonna help you.
Oh, I thought
and
there was
like a big close up of his mouth.
Yeah,
and he's like a dead slug. Tongue came out and his teeth like a burnt down fence, and he sort of stuck his tongue out and licked his lips. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he sort of like, he was like pouting, doing kisses at her. It was genuinely disgusting.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the framing of the shot as well.
Oh, it was horrible.
Like, it was sort of, you could see what, like just below his shoulders.
Like, yeah, so close.
It was too close, wasn't it?
Punishment and then reward straight afterwards, because he said, oh, well, you know, I want to, you're ravishing or whatever, I'm going to take you on a date. Yeah. And she was so shocked, she sprayed the water siphon over the breasts of the barmaid, which had a close up, and then she sort of jiggled them around. So I was like, yeah, fair enough.
And then she went in with her hands to wipe them and then pull the dress.
Pulled the,
just in case there not enough attention had been drawn to the.
So the fact that she had breasts.
This brought the overall bustiness index of the episode soaring, which is pleasing.
That'd be a BPM.
What's that?
A bit of boobs per minute, I guess. I'm going to go 2.
It was lovely stuff.
On a scale of The Good Life to Bottle Boys.
Good Life as well.
Good Life, where like two of the main characters are women.
Yeah, but the...
What's that like? Unfortunately, yeah.
Not quite dressed very well.
That's why you wrote that fan fiction, isn't it? To address that.
All changed.
We're not... Oh. Anyway, so he sets it up and he goes on a date with her, and then it cuts to after the date and they go back to the pub, well, and up to the flat and whatever. And then I don't really know why. Oh, they're sitting on the sofa, and then she goes, oh, I've dropped one of my earrings, and he goes, I'll get it for you. It's under the table. And then I think he bumps his head or something.
I think he bumps his head.
Oh, dad calls him upstairs and everyone gets startled and he bumps his head. And then for some reason, she tears his trousers off.
Because he's under the table. And then she tries to pull him out from under the table, but like the slowest peel ever.
It's like, what's his name? Like Party Boy at a Jackass. It's like the hole goes.
Yeah. It wasn't like a quick rip of trousers. It was like she'd peeled them off.
Yeah.
Very weak.
We should cut the sound of that.
It's a Party Boy.
Full of dancing. Kind of feel like dancing right now. Wow. Brilliant. So that was an extended sequence, and then dad comes down and is like, what's going on down there? And then she throws him onto the couch and throws a blanket over him and a cushion, and she's like trying to cover him up.
I especially didn't enjoy this bit. Like, for the sofa they had, he could have easily got underneath. I know it's a comedy, and the point is like, oh, what's the most silly thing we can do here? But like lying across him, like none of it.
But then, to be fair, like, it was an impressive bit of physical comedy on her part. I don't think it was very funny or worked, but like, She did her, but she did it well.
There were bits like my favorite bit of the physical comedy was where later on she came down in wearing white heels and she was so bow-legged the way she was walking down the stairs, like one at a time. That I enjoyed. So yeah, I think she was quite good at some of the really more physical things in this.
She kept sticking her tongue out. I didn't like that either.
Yeah, there's
a bit where she was
kept saying the word things.
Yeah, and then she's horrible, wasn't it? Horrible old tongue. Just don't want to see old people's tongues, yeah.
I've never looked in my dad's eyes and done that. I just never would want to. Why would anyone do
that? I just want to, once you get over the age of about, I'd say over 40 plus, you shouldn't have your tongue out in public. Unless you're in Kiss.
Excuse me, Eugene. That's me. Oh, fair play.
Really?
Carry on. You do your thing, mate. Do your thing.
Do you have a joke of the week? What's Chris got on his thing? Look, he's got a pub. Word switch. Yeah.
Word switch. And I just wrote customers and.
What a no.
Beer, no. Drinks, snacks. Don't let the window cleaner just drink behind the bar. I'm just getting some nose tips.
There's some good clothes in it, aren't
there? The fashion was good, yeah. Some good on point 70s fashion.
Yeah, Charlie had some good bits on.
Quite like
some
of the shirts, quite good.
Yeah, I liked it with the little drafts and
stuff. You like little wooden trousers.
Yeah, wooden trousers. Yeah, it looked like you're
on
the
tan motorbike. Colours. Tan colour flares.
Like, yeah, creosote with his trousers.
What's the thread count on these? Oh, it's veneer.
How old are they? Well, if you look in, see how many rings are on it. All right, that's done. Oh, you got any joke of the week or something, or what?
Not, it wasn't a joke. As I say, I just really enjoyed her walking down the stairs, like really bow-legged. That just made me laugh.
Brilliant. What a standard. When she walked down the stairs, that I was...
the physical was comedy.
Side-splitting comedy.
That's what we have to look out for. We've got a staircase walk.
Mark is like talking ahead on our programme. Hilda Baker, absolute legend. Once you've seen her walk down the stairs, you'd never forget it.
It's really disappointed when he sees a sitcom set in a bungalow.
Not for me. Not for me.
Just in a spin-off of Upstairs, Downstairs, just called Downstairs.
Really disappointed me that it just cut straight to the upstairs. Don't you see much of the interchange? I'd just love to see.
There wasn't a lot of ascending or descending, unfortunately.
Is this like the peak comedy? Is where someone like steps behind a sofa or something and pretends. that's
a tease.
It's like, what's going on there? Show us the stairs.
Yeah, Mark looks around. It's just normal floor. Oh, we also see Beauty and the Beast in the bit when she comes down the stairs and like the song starts and you're just absolutely pissing yourself.
She stands up, applause, rapturous applause.
Yeah. Mark's favourite comedy record, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin.
how many tracks on this album? 12? What is it? Oh, it's just repeat. Just same song. Just not the 10-hour version.
Play the game.
Mark made the game. Stupid game. Mark has made a stupid game. Let's play the game. Let's play the fucking stupid game.
Is it going to be about the rapper Nelly?
It would have been a better idea.
Not on your telly.
Not on your belly. It's about obesity. Stats.
All of these are better ideas.
I don't know.
What about pot?
Not on your jelly.
It's the various different round trees.
That's setting agents. I think that was Agar Agar.
Setting agents.
I've pecked him for 3 minutes.
Pot on Your Kelly, and it's about lead singer Kelly Jones from Stereophonics about his marijuana use. Pot on Your Kelly. Okay, what is it, Mark?
It's just simply Not on Your Nelly the Elephant. Just went straight for it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did have some bit of ideas, didn't we?
Not on Your Nelly, brackets, the Elephant.
It's always a good game when you've got to explain it with brackets, isn't it? Right.
So, of course, I'm going to read a series of facts about elephants. Tell me which is correct. Wood. African elephants' ears are the shape of Africa. True or false?
Well, exactly. I mean, just like, no, false.
It's true.
But that's not true, is it? That's no. Well, yeah, but it's just a passing resemblance. It's not like the actual shape of Africa, is it? Like, oh, well done, you managed to grow those.
Weirdly,
weirdly,
Italians' feet are the shape of their country as well. That's also really strange. So.
Is it the shape of a leg and a boot? I suppose it is.
No.
It's more leg and boot than not, isn't it? It's more than, say, Corsica.
What?
Do you mean what?
It's that type of queen.
You're still going to win anyway, don't worry about
it. Give me the point, I don't know why.
False habit.
Exactly.
It's like I've argued it.
Right, Jones. Elephants have the longest pregnancy of any mammal. So, but is that at 17 months or 22 months?
Oh.
Did that say true?
Yeah. Wait, how long is a human? 9, isn't it? 22?
It is 22.
Come on.
Wood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on, ready?
Baby elephants stay with their mum for up to 8 years or 10 years.
Well, that's going to be true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's just giving you an option, isn't
he? Yeah, they're the options.
Yes. Yeah, about then. 8 for the ones who want to get out quickly.
That's about
10
right.
8 to 10 sounds about right, yeah.
8 to 10, yeah, sounds good. 8.
It's 10.
Oh. Oh.
My kid is here, elephant.
Jones.
Yeah.
Elephants. Both of you go, yeah? Elephants can reach speeds of...
the national speed limit.
25 miles per hour.
70.
Or 30 miles an hour.
What are the options?
25 or 30 miles an hour.
5 mile per hour difference.
Yes. That's why it's a hard quiz.
I mean, clocked. Clocked. We clocked. In a 20 mile. 20's plenty, guys. 25 or 30? 30, then.
It's 25. Oh. It's difficult.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's good. That means you're
probably clocked doing 22 or 23 miles an hour.
Ride an elephant around most roads in the UK. It's not the motorway.
Would the average elephant lives for 50 to 70 years? Is that true or false?
True.
50 to 70? Is it 20 miles?
These are the facts I'm getting online.
Okay.
Yeah, true.
Elephants.net.
It is true, yes.
Yeah, get an old elephant.
It's true.
Never forget to.
Jones, the oldest living elephant died at what age? Was it 76 or 86?
76. So what did you just say to him? It was 50 to 70.
I can't tell you that.
50 to 70?
50 to 70, yeah.
76 or 86, so...
It's 52 or 86.
86.
It is 86.
Come on.
Well done. Thank you. Would an elephant sleeps for approximately how long? Is it 4 hours or 6 hours a day?
So six.
It's 4 hours.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh. It's like, lazy elephant.
They'll sleep in a trunk bed, a bunk bed.
Jesus. And finally, Jones, you have one either way, but see if you get this one. An adult male's tusks grow. Is it 5 inches a year or 7 inches a year?
Both big, but
an adult male's tusks grow. Yeah, they do.
True.
Five or seven a year.
Yep.
Five, seven.
Unfortunately.
Ooh.
I mean, never mind. You've still won either way. Well done. So you get the pick the next episode.
So you have that Lee Evans one on there.
I think we do.
Can we just read that one? What's it called again?
So What Now?
I think that's it. We've done like a big long row of like 70s ones, haven't we? Come on, let's just do something different. I'm sick of it.
I'm happy to watch that. All right then. So we'll be watching So What Now next week. Thanks for watching as always. Listening as always. It's been a mess today. Apologies. As always. So we'll see you next week. Or you'll hear us next week.
Start it again, isn't it?
Goodbye.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Say bye, Chris.
Bye. 1, 2! They used to say in the good old days, things were better in every way, but no, not on your Nelly. For instance, there's a thing called love. That's one thing.
thing that they hadn't thought of. No,
not on your Nelly.
If you feel sad and you feel bad and love seems to ignore you, get out and about and we'll find out. It's right there and it's waiting for you. So off you go.